And so we are in this beautiful period between the birth of Christ that we are still celebrating and the theophany, the baptism. And there is much to learn here, especially from the gospel reading. We could have the tendency of being excited and looking forward to December 25th and celebrating Christmas, and we open up our gifts and then we eat a big meal, and then kind of what happens? What's next? It's sort of over for a lot of people. But it's not over. It's only just beginning. It is the beginning that we have to be concerned about. And this sense of beginning has to do with, well, what comes next? Now that Christ is born, what's supposed to happen? Is it just a feast that we just celebrate and we sing nice songs and all these things? No. What's supposed to happen next? The gospel reading tells us exactly what's supposed to happen next, because it tells us what John the Baptizer was doing. People were coming to John in repentance and in confession. Two key things. And they were being baptized by him. And this baptism was not the same baptism that Christ would give, but it was one of preparing them. And that's why John the Baptist says, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." What is this preparation? What is this path of being straight? It's what comes next. Because everything has a beginning, but then there must be a development, there must be a growth. So when Christ is born, he comes to us in this humble, quiet way, hidden in a manger, in a cave, not publicly yet. The angels know and they glorify him. The shepherds are told, the magi are told. But then there's a kind of a secretive experience here at this point. And then later on he has to flee and go to Egypt. In other words, everything's very hidden at this point. But there is a preparation happening as well. So what that means for us is, as Christ is born and we're celebrating this feast, as we said before, he has to be born in our hearts. He has to be born within our own lives, not separate as a religious observance, but internally, in a spiritual reality. And then once he's born in this quiet way, that faith, that love for him grows and develops. And as that happens, as Christ enters into us, as he develops into us, in us, we begin to see what needs to be confessed, what needs to be repented of. Because the light of Christ, the love of Christ, wounds us, makes us recognize how far we are from his love, how far we are from God, how much I need to work on myself, on my sinful habits, my passions, my hang-ups, my lack of forgiveness, my resentments, on and on and on and on, my addictions. I recognize them now because Christ is born in me. And he's come with such humility and love, willing to sacrifice himself for me. And now my heart and my soul want to respond to that. And so that is the essence of repentance and confession, which John the Baptizer was preparing people for, and people were coming to him with that. And all of that was to prepare them for something else, which Christ would then offer years and years later, and that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Having repented, having desired Christ, having grown in faith and belief and love for Christ, the people of God now were ready and able and deserving of receiving the Holy Spirit to transform them into little Christs themselves. Just as the Holy Spirit descended upon the Holy Virgin and incarnated, and through her God was born, so the Holy Spirit must come upon every believer, incarnate in us, and make us Christians, make us into little Christs. That's the word Christians means, little Christ. I don't know if you knew that. To make us into that. But it's not possible unless we repent and confess. And so the church provides the place of repentance through all the sacraments that we have, especially the sacrament of confession. If we do not partake of this, then neither can the Holy Spirit enter into us and cleanse us and purify us and sanctify us. So this is a very special period, because we are, as I said, in the middle of this time of recognizing and celebrating the birth of God in the flesh, and looking forward to this weekend, the Theophany, when Christ appears now 30 years later, and he begins his public ministry, appears at the River Jordan, he's baptized by John, and the Holy Trinity is made manifested, becomes visible. He, the Son of God, is there in the water. The voice of the Father is heard, and John sees something that appears like a dove descending, which was the Holy Spirit. And this is the manifestation, or what we say, the theophany, the revelation of the Holy Trinity. And it inaugurates the church. It inaugurates the message of the gospel, which is to repent and to be baptized and to live the life of the gospel, the life of righteousness. So today is another special day, because it's the end of the year. It's the end of the year, and it's a good opportunity. Some people like to do, what is that called? New Year's resolution? That's a good thing to do, I think. It's a good thing to do. But it's a good thing to also not only look forward and say, well, my resolution for this coming year, it's going to do blah, X, Y, and Z. But let's look backwards. Let's look at 2023. And each of us can look back at my own life, excuse me, in this year, 2023, and perhaps reflect a little bit on how this year was for you. What happened to you this year? How did you grow? How did you develop as a Christian? Or did you not? And what helped you develop? What helped you grow in your spiritual life, in repentance, in holiness? What helped you? And what didn't help you? What were the things that got in the way of your growth? What got in the way between you and Christ, between you and repentance, between you and God? What got in the way? And to simply sit down and think about that is a very, very helpful exercise. Because that way you'll know and learn a little bit from your mistakes. And also recognize the ways that God did intervene and did help you through various means. Perhaps it was something you read in the Holy Scriptures. Perhaps someone helped you with something or said something. Perhaps God spoke directly to your heart. And then something made you want to do better, made you want to commit more to Christ and to your spiritual life. Whatever that thing was, hold on to that and try to get more of that. Because your enemy wants to keep you away from Christ. The way he was successful keeping you away from Christ this year, believe me, he's going to do the exact same thing next year. Whether that was laziness, or whether that was apathy, or whether that was creating all kinds of conflicts and problems that made you feel far from God, abandoned by God, or maybe you didn't take things seriously because you were too enamored by the things of the world and no longer the spiritual life. You were too busy satisfying our flesh instead of satisfying our souls. That's all from the enemy to keep you from repentance, to keep you from confession, to keep you from Christ. So we have to be wise and look back and be honest with ourselves and ask, did that happen to me? And will I let it happen again? Or will I fight? Will I stand up for who I really am? Will I struggle to reclaim my true identity as a beloved child of God, made in the image and likeness of Him? Will I stand up and restore that within myself through the church? Or will I again allow myself to be deceived by the devil and pulled away from my Lord by Him because I don't want to fight, because I'm so caught up in my own suffering and pain and I don't come to Him for help? These are the things you should be thinking about. These are the things we should be reflecting on. So as we start the new year, everything begins again. Another chance, another opportunity to draw closer to Christ this year. Let us not waste it. Let us seize it through what the church offers us. Communion with the Lord. Communion with the Lord. Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.